Political life. There was a time when I used to believe that most politicians, obviously not all of them, but most politicians had a higher sense of purpose. They had a cause that motivated them, and they drove towards it, and that was what the average politician was really like. A little later in my life, I stopped believing that, and I came to believe that politicians represented the interest of their class. That was during my Marxist phase when, yes, I saw all political life as driven by the material interests of certain classes in society. The next phase of my life is the most unpleasant of all for me. And it's the phase when I became most cynical about politics and politicians. And I came to believe that politicians were primarily motivated by making sure that they got a very big retirement pension, that they got themselves individually onto the position of boards after they left political office, and that they managed to raise themselves out of a certain position in society where they'd have a kind of modest income into a place where they could become genuinely, seriously rich. And that all of their pronouncements, all of their behaviour, some of which is highly skillful, was designed in order to optimise or maximise, whichever you prefer, their own personal position. And that they had zero values, and that everything was, the skill was to carefully maintain positions designed to give themselves personally the best position. That's a very unpleasant set of thoughts. I call that my complete cynical position. And I don't like holding that viewpoint, and I wish I didn't. It's interesting that Ireland has had an experience in the last few days of a politician, junior minister in the government, a woman, come out and behave as if she believed in a cause. In other words, that she had a political position, and that it was her duty to act accordingly, and she has, as a consequence, resigned from the government and resigned the whip, the government whip, and is thereby free to speak in the parliament. Now, I want to quote you from Eilish O'Hanlon in today's newspaper, today's Sunday Independent, 30th of September, a particular paragraph. And this is the paragraph. Not everyone understands why Roisin Shortall did what she did. What happened to her happens to junior ministers all the time, after all. You work hard at something, then it's binned by the boss, and he does his own thing anyway. Underlings are humiliated, bypassed and ignored every single day. Most just shut up and put up with it, and are even praised for doing so by fellow political animals who see the ability to roll with the punches as a sign of professional maturity. I mean, that's a great sentence. Who see the ability to roll with the punches as a sign of professional maturity. Continuing with Eilish's paragraph, time servers get their chance eventually. When I read that paragraph, first of all, I admired Eilish's writing very much, but I thought it expressed terribly well the cynical side of my understanding of politics, because clearly the whole method of behaving there is not is to do with who's top dog in a situation, and the juniors are meant to allow themselves to be shafted without any public complaint. And Roisin Shortall, junior minister in the current government in Ireland, perhaps not relevantly from the Labour Party, the junior party in the National Coalition Government. She has, in a sense, not only been shafted, and I won't go into the details of what exactly happened, But she certainly hasn't taken it lying down. She gave a major radio interview yesterday morning on RTE, the main radio station in Ireland. And as a result of that, today's Sunday newspapers have got loads and loads of copy. There's, you know, they fill column inches, a huge amount of it. Even so, you know, yeah, so it's all there. The newspapers are thrilled. They're obviously got a great story to deal with. People are talking. Irish political life has kind of woken up a bit. But I find it very confusing, because if I apply the cynic's perspective to Roisin Shorthall, I say to myself that, you know, first of all, the first proposition is she believes in nothing, and that she's out to, this is a bid for leadership of the Labour Party. That's one. The cynic in me says that that's what she's doing. She's playing a long game. She's actually deliberately choosing to appear in public as a highly principled politician. But, you know, I expect that in some time in the future, she'll turn out to be just as like the rest of them. And all she's doing is she's using a particular kind of political golf club to play on a certain place. And, you know, because the cynic in me says they're all the bloody same, you know, that the bottom line is these are a privileged class of people connected with other privileged people, and I and others are paying a fortune to give them a really massive pension when they retire. And those who don't succeed within the political world and don't actually come out with, you know, government office and whatever, they're just the foot soldiers who just didn't manage to win the game. But I might be wrong. I might well be wrong. And, you know, I know nothing of Roisin Shorthall. I don't. I know people who tell me that she's a highly principled individual. And I know people whose judgment I would often take. But there, I on this particular moment in time, I can't take anybody's judgment on this, because I feel that my previous positions have been so let down. The Labour Party at one stage, I felt in, you know, at one stage I thought that they were on the side of the working class, the disenfranchised, the underdog and whatever. Well, I don't think that anymore, really, to be truthful. I think they have a niche in society, and that's theirs. You know, occasionally their interest and the interests of the deprived and the underdog and the disenfranchised and the alienated, you know, collide in such a way that there's an interest, and they move forward playing, if you like, the class card. Other times it's kind of irrelevant. So anyway, I'm confused by Irish politics. I'm uncomfortable about the way I didn't actually have massive hope that the new government that took over after Fianna Fáil would be better. But I better say that I probably thought they, well, I certainly thought they couldn't be worse. And I don't think they're worse. But people in opposition can always be better than the government in from the point of view of the apparent morals on the situation. So where am I at in terms of politics? I would say that all it's doing is that it's causing me to experience discomfort, because there is no better system than parliamentary democracy. You know, I do not actually hold the view that we need to get rid of them all and bring in a dictatorship of some sort or a bureaucratic, you know, leader. Political parties are part of our culture. They're part of our achievement, actually. And electing people is also an achievement. It was something people fought for. And so whatever about my cynicism, whatever about my disappointment, somehow or other, I feel I have to find a way through this and put up with it. So I guess it is a sign that I have some, you know, passion for politics, the fact that I'm bothering to make this audio boo at all, because I do have an impulse to close my eyes and forget them and just carry on in the world of arts, culture and business, basically. you know, the creative side and the entrepreneurial side of me. You know, there is enough in that. But I do feel that I am born for a reason, and I believe that my reason for living is to create a better world for the next generation. That is a seems to me, through when I reflect on my life, an irreducible minimum. So I am, in that sense, I am compelled to be the political animal that I am. And I suppose I'm compelled to seek alliances with others who share a concept of, you know, bettering the society in which we live in Ireland, and make collaboration and alliances with them and try to change things for the better. So all that I've said before this leads me to one conclusion, which is that I am compelled to be responsible for the standard of society which my daughter will inherit. So I do hope this clash in Ireland over the health situation and between within the government, I do hope the clash will come out into the open and lead to a mother and a father of a row.